A new FDA analysis released today shows the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine to be effective, with no safety concerns, ahead of a committee meeting on Friday to consider authorizing it for emergency use.
Meanwhile, Pfizer and Moderna have pledged a combined 220 million doses of their already approved vaccines to the U.S. by the end of March, but it is a race against time. Research published in the New England Journal of Medicine found those two vaccines may be less effective against the South African strain of the coronavirus. So how does it work to tweak a vaccine for a new variant? Let's bring in Dr. Drew Weissman. He's professor of medicine at the University of Pennsylvania's Perelman School of Medicine. His research helped develop the mRNA technology used in the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. Dr. Weissman, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And first, what steps have Pfizer and Moderna already taken to adjust their vaccines for these variants?
So the approach they're taking right now is to make a booster. And that booster has one of the variants, likely the South African, that can be used to immunize people who have already received the original vaccine.
So on a very basic level then, what does it take to make those changes?
For mRNA, it's simple. I was talking with Ugur Sahin, the CEO of BioNTech. It will take them 6 weeks from the time they get a new variant to make a vaccine that's ready to give to people. You simply pop in the new sequence into the mRNA and you're done.
Now, the FDA said this week that these tweaked vaccines would not need to go through the same kind of vigorous trials that the original did. Can you explain, well, first of all, if you agree with that decision and why it's not necessary?
So we've been doing this with flu for many years. Every year we have new flu vaccines that are chosen from what people think will infect the population. Those do not go through any clinical trials. They're tested in animals to be sure that they make an immune response, and then they're given to people. The variants aren't that different. They differ by, average around 20 amino acids out of 400. So they're minor changes.
And yet, it seems like there are quite a few variants emerging. How do you think these companies are going to be able to keep up with all of them? Is there a way that they would make a booster for each variant?
Yeah, so that would be very difficult because it would mean immunizing people 10 or 20 times. My lab, in collaboration with others, are working on alternative methods, and those include making vaccines that cover all of the variants and all of the variants that could possibly appear.
I see. And what kind of testing would these boosters go through so that we know they're safe?
So the ones that Moderna and Pfizer are doing, I'm sure they're going to require animal studies to show that they make a good immune response and the immune responses are protective against both the variant and the original vaccines.
And what sort of information, I think this is the big question here, what sort of information would you need to see that would tell you that it's time to go from testing these boosters to actually putting them into people's arms? How do we know when it's time?
So the biggest concern is that a variant appears that can infect somebody who's already been infected with the original virus. And if that occurs and it starts to spread, then we need to do something to immunize against the variant.
If someone has gotten, let's say, the Moderna vaccine, both doses, and all of a sudden they end up sick in the hospital with one of these, say the South African variant, that would be an indicator that something's going wrong.
Well, not one person, because what we know is that in a population, in 100 people, a few of those people have a weaker immune response. Those people have already shown they can get reinfected with the same virus. What we'd want to see is that in a population, 10, 20, 30% of people who had the vaccine are now coming down with a new variant.
I see. Do you think we'll get to that point?
I hope not. I mean, the key to it is to immunize the world as fast as possible. Because if the virus can't replicate, if it can't spread, it can't form variants.
Now, from a purely practical and almost logistical point of view, tell me this. If you've already gotten a second dose of Pfizer and Moderna and you've gone through all of the waiting in line it took to do that and navigating the systems, this means, I imagine, that you'd have to wait again for a third shot all over again. How complicated would it be to add that booster into the mix?
I think we've had so much practice figuring out how to distribute the current vaccine that it won't be as much of a nightmare as the original vaccine distribution was.
And just your final takeaway here about, you know, how big of an undertaking this is. You mentioned we do this every year with the flu vaccine. I just wonder what lessons we might be able to draw from that.
Well, we've known since this virus first appeared that variants were going to happen. It's a bat virus that jumped into humans. The virus wants to figure out how to infect humans. So we should have been preparing for this months ago.
Dr. Drew Weissman, professor of medicine at the University of Pennsylvania. Thank you very much.
Thank you.